And now, the life of Mary Southern. Life frequently plans her journey by roundabout roads. And as we stumble blindly along these unfamiliar highways, we lose hope of ever reaching our destination. Then suddenly we see the clearing ahead of us, and we know that at last we have arrived. Mary Southern has traveled just such uncertain paths for weeks. She and Max had one goal in mind, to have a new factory built in Sanders. This desire is finally on the road to realization, as Jeffrey Barton has signed the necessary papers to close the deal. Mr. Barton also proved that big businessmen can be human beings when he became interested in Phyllis, Max's invalid sister. He has promised to bring the famous Dr. Louis DeRoy to Sanders to examine her. Phyllis is waiting breathlessly for this day. Daddy Stratford, Phyllis's father-in-law, is minding Max's office because his Bloomberg, Max's secretary, took the day off. Daddy is pathetically happy to be useful. He is secretly felt he is a burden to the young people since the little hotel he once ran has been closed. We hear him now on the phone talking to Mary.
Say, hey, Mary, that was darn nice of you to steal me my lunch. You shouldn't have gone to all that bother. I'd eaten in the drugstore. Oh, I'm sure I like your cooking better than Zimmerman's drugstore, and how? I just hate you making you so much trouble. Okay, I'll be quiet and eat it. Yeah, I'm sailing in right now. I took one peek at those sandwiches and my mouth's watering. Well, thanks a lot, honey. I'll be seeing you tonight. Goodbye. There's a girl for you. Never forget your name. Boy, let's see what else is in this lunchbox.
Anyone here?
Yep, I'm around. Come on in, whoever you are.
Why, hello, Daddy. You're just the man I wanted to see. Phyllis said I'd find you here.
Oh, she did, Mr. Barton? Well, come in and sit down while I polish off a sandwich. So you want to see me, eh?
Yes, lad. I want to talk to you about your hotel.
Hotel?
Yes. Are you reopening it?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm mighty anxious to. It's a darn shame to let a good business like that lay idle.
Was it a paying proposition, Daddy?
Was it? Well, see, that place was a gold mine. I'm telling you, Mr. Barton, if I had the backing to get it going again, gosh, all fish would try clean up.
Really? You must have had quite a business.
Yep. Never a week went by we didn't have between 8 and 9 guests.
Well, you don't say. Made money, eh?
Yes, sir, we certainly did. We used to clear about $30. Of course, that was the good week. But we never lost any money, Mr. Barton. My little hotel always made us a living.
Well, that's something. About how long would it take you to reopen the hotel once the financial obstacles were disposed of?
Oh, I guess it'd take me about 15 minutes to take down the boards. Got them nailed up all over the windows.
About 15 minutes, eh?
Yeah.
Did you manage it all by yourself?
Well, my boy Danny used to help me when he wasn't working, but I generally ran the whole shebang. Right. Even his little chambermaid worked once in a while. But I never could get the blankets tucked under the heat as the girls did.
I guess there's an act to that.
Yep, it's an art. Mary and Phyllis never minded helping out either. They just love to putter around the place.
Poor Phyllis, there's not much she can do now.
I guess not. It seems like our luck went right after the hotel closed. Everything kind of went to pot at once. Phyllis got so sick, and then that scallywag Proust tried to force Max and Mary to sell their share of the Sanders interest.
I gather Gerald Proust has been anxious to have Max's position in this town for some time.
I say he has. And his wife, that Henrietta, why, she wants to be the society leader here. Golly, but she's jealous of our Mary.
Oh, I doubt whether Mary cares much for society.
She don't give a snap of her fingers for it. Mary'd rather be a darn good wife to Max.
And I admire her for it. Now, that's probably the thing she does best, and she concentrates on it.
Yep. Folks should stick to the things they know and not bob around in somebody else's territory.
That's my theory, exactly. Now, for instance, I know how to manage a factory, but I could never run a hotel, and I wouldn't attempt it.
You mean you wouldn't maybe think of, well, being a silent partner?
Oh, partnership of any kind is foolish if you don't know the business. Why, even a good proposition like your hotel could be ruined if a novice tried to take over.
I guess you're right.
Oh, now, Daddy, come on. You're not worried about someone else taking over your hotel, are you?
Huh? Oh, no. I ain't thinking of that. I guess I'm the only one who feels like I do about that hotel, Mr. Barton. There ain't anyone that had once a little old Stratford house.
Well,
how do you think about it?
What? What?
Gerald, please, I don't believe you heard a word I said. I was telling you that I'd like to take over the old Stratford house.
What? The old Stratford house? What on earth do you want with that?
I think it would make a fairly decent social club. Of course, we have to make a great many improvements, and it's small, but their Nat has advantages because you could keep it very intimate and exclusive.
And who would operate this social club, Henrietta?
I would. It would be a definite step toward some real culture and standards.
Oh, Henrietta, why must you always go poking into something you know nothing about?
Are you trying to insinuate that I know nothing of culture?
Who said anything about culture? I'm talking about the operation of a club. Will you kindly tell me what you know about running one? That takes experience.
I'm sure my social knowledge will be sufficient.
Your social knowledge will be the death of me, Henrietta.
Don't use slang expressions, Gerald. Tell me how I go about getting a lease on a hotel.
Get up to call Max Sanders. His office keeps the papers for all the buildings controlled by the Sanders entrance.
I simply loathe speaking to that man. Gerald, can you possibly refuse to give me the lease?
No, he hasn't the authority to do that. Any responsible party with sufficient security may take over the building.
Then phone him right away, Gerald. I'm anxious to put my plan into operation.
Oh, call him yourself, Henrietta. I don't want to speak to him either.
Oh, you make me tired. Call Merlin Davis, then. He's the next officer, Max Sanders, and he can negotiate whatever business must be transacted with that impossible man.
All right. I suppose I won't have any peace until I do. Hello, operator. Get me name 4760.
Hello? Yes, this is Merlin Davis. Oh, hello, Gerald. How are you? That's fine. What's that? A social club. Oh, it's not a bad idea. Of course, you can lose plenty of money if it's not operated right. Yes. Yes, I understand. Perhaps he has a hard set on it. Well, all right, I'll go in and speak to him about the lease. Oh, no trouble at all. The Sanders interest will take a chance on you. You are financially sound, if anyone is. Right. I'll call you back. Give my regards to Mrs. Bruce. Goodbye. Miss Bloomberg. Oh, Miss Bloomberg.
I'm waiting here. Who wants me?
I was looking for Miss Bloomberg. Oh, how do you do, Mr. Barton? Good afternoon, Mr. Davis.
Did you want something, Mr. Davis?
Yes, I wanted to see Miss Bloomberg.
Well, I'm her... I'm taking her place. She went out for a spell.
I don't know if you could locate the papers I need. I see Max Sanders isn't in either.
Nope, he's out too. But I'd be more than glad to help you if I could.
I wanted to look at a lease for one of the untenanted Sanders buildings, but I can get it later.
Well, wait just a minute. Maybe I can find it, too. Which one did you want?
The lease for the old Stratford house.
Well, maybe it's in... What? What lease did you say you wanted?
The lease for the old Stratford hotel. Mrs. Bruce is going to take it over.
She's going to run my hotel?
No, she wants to convert it into a social club.
But she can't do that.
Of course she can. The hotel's standing idle at the town's expense.
That still makes Mr. Stratford's statement correct. Mrs. Bruce can't have the hotel because Mr. Stratford has leased it to run it himself.
Huh?
But, Mr. Barton, I'm pretty certain Mr. Stratford isn't financially responsible for this lease.
You needn't concern yourself about that, Mr. Davis. I'm backing him in this venture, and I believe you'll find me financially responsible.
Well, Daddy Stratford, we can't blame you for standing there with your mouth wide open. Mr. Barton wasn't interested in a partnership, but he was willing to extend the financial backing you needed to reopen the hotel on your own. Daddy, how does it feel to know you'll be a big businessman again?